Geek Actually is brought to you by listeners just like you. Thanks for your donations. If you want to get involved, send an email to feedback@geekactually.com or use the contact form on the website.
He left for Hollywood. That's screwy booey hooey Hollywood.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this very special Geek Actually. I'm David McVeigh. I'm the host, and I'm joined here in studio with Jacob Oberman. Hello.
Screwy wooey Hollywood.
Screwy wooey Hollywood. That's right. This is a very special episode. There is no official number on this because it's Oscar Day. And as promised on the website earlier today, this is our post-Oscar show, or we could say it's our post-mortem to the Oscars.
Oh, I wouldn't be so glum. It's probably the best Oscars that I've seen in many years.
Well, that's exactly what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about what our thoughts were on who won, who didn't win, and our thoughts on the show presentation itself. Now, Jacob and I have just finished watching the live broadcast of it.
Live,
which is for Australia is a rare occasion. We don't normally get it live.
That was on the Nine Network.
It was, and it was very nice of them to show it to us live. They're also doing a repeat viewing of the show tonight at 9:30. It starts, but I got to tell you, it's 4 hours long. So if you start watching it at 9:30, you're probably going to be up pretty late tonight. Now, before we go any further, I have to state that there are spoilers in this show. If you have not watched the Oscars and you do not want to know the results before watching the Oscars, turn off this podcast now and come back to us after you finish watching it. This is for those who are in the States and have already seen it, and anywhere else in the country, anywhere else in the world where they've had live feeds and you've already seen it. If you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to know the results, then pause this and come back to us in a few hours after you've watched it, and then we will talk further. Now that that warning has been put in place, Jacob Oberman, did you think of the Oscars?
What is it,
the 81st Oscars?
It is the 81st Oscars. Look, I think it was far more relaxed, and they've probably taken a leaf out of BAFTA's books.
Well, they could only go up from last year, so.
So I thought that Hugh Jackman was going to be a huge disappointment, and he was not. He was very relaxed.
I just have to counter you a little bit on that first, because I actually thought that when he first came out and he first started, he actually felt a little self-conscious, but he warmed up pretty fast.
Yeah, I'd say he was even a little nervous at the weight of what he was carrying. And the way he was going to the audience and shaking everyone's hand.
I was getting a little bit tired of the...
You got a bit annoyed by the end.
No, yeah. A little bit tired of the... When he was going around saying, Jack Nicholson, everybody, and making the... It was like it was almost a little bit too much of him trying to get applause for everybody. Mm. I would have been happier with him just going, hey, Jack, how are you?
Well, he kind of did that in the beginning, and then he started to piss in their pockets, as it were. But I think what he's initially trying to do is he comes from a position of humbleness, and I think he's just humbled to be there and shaking all of these hands in close proximity. So there was a song and dance number to begin with.
Which I actually thought was kind of cute.
I thought it was very clever, which was reflective of our current economic situation, and he made it clear that this was so. So it was a pastiche of all of these films that were going to be presented for the Oscars, including Slumdog Millionaire, and they had set up it was made out of pizza boxes, the Who Wants to Be a Millionaire set. That was very clever. I can't say as much for the middle piece.
We'll get to that.
Our mate Baz.
Our mate Baz strikes again, and we will talk about that in a minute. I've actually written here in my notes, I wrote that during the red carpet arrivals, now in America they would have had different red carpet arrivals because they didn't have Richard Wilkins, obviously. We had our Australian Richard Wilkins, who's kind of becoming, I don't know, how would you describe, he's almost getting a little embarrassing.
A little?
All right, he's always been embarrassing. Okay, but He actually interviewed the cast of Slumdog Millionaire, all the kids, and that was really charming.
That was charming.
I thought the kids were lovely.
But they hold their own. Even the littly, he really is a littly. He said, "Look, I'm sorry, you're talking to these two here. They don't understand English."
So. Yes, and he was so precocious. Mm. He was lovely. Mm. Now, I've actually written here that the opening number was cute. I did agree with that. Mm. But I actually did say that that concept of doing the mashups of the songs and making it funny and all sorts of it was kind of started by Billy Crystal, and I think Billy still does it best.
Yes, well, he's done it a few times now, hasn't he?
Yeah.
I think he's in keeping with traditional Hollywood presentation, and maybe you're right. Maybe there was something lost in the way they were acting this year.
I just felt that it felt a little bit. Mm. It just felt a little bit forced. It didn't feel as natural. Billy Crystal always made it feel really natural. Mm. It just kind of flew out of him. Whereas with Hugh, it feels a little bit. It felt a little bit rehearsed.
Don't you think that it was very rehearsed? What are you talking about?
It was rehearsed. Yeah. I'm saying it felt rehearsed.
I understand. What I'm going to put to you is don't you think that, I mean, they are trying to find... Look, for so long they connected themselves to the style of the old Oscars.
Yes.
Which was encapsulated... you know, by the time that those Oscars were being presented in. You know, we're never going to see, they're trying to find their feet again. They're trying to present a new...
They're trying to make them relevant.
They are relevant. Yeah. That's exactly right. I think they're making the right... They're going in the right direction. Let's put it that way.
Well, put it this way. We've got the BAFTAs, we've got the Globes, we've got the Blockbuster Awards. I mean, there's so many awards now. It used to just be the Oscars, and now there's so many awards that... Oscar really has to catch up because, let's face it, the Globes and the BAFTAs are much more fun to watch at the moment because they don't have all that pretense to them. They just get out there and they do the award show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think what the Oscars trying to do is my feeling is they're trying to, if they're not going to go the way of the Globes and the BAFTAs and make it just a straight award show because they can't, because there is a thing attached to the Oscars, then in that case, what they seem to have decided to do is go back to ye olde Hollywood.
Yeah.
They're trying to go back, in particular, back to the 60s and 70s with the big song and dance numbers, which now we will talk about.
But before we do that, do you think, I'm going to ask you this question, do you think that the Oscars have lost...
I think some of them have lost their sheen.
They've lost their sheen and also, you know, the relevance of the Oscars, how appropriately... matched each Oscar is, so to speak. I mean, what are they awarding it for? The BAFTAs, to me, and the Golden Globes, for that matter, from the American front, have always held more, and here's that word again, gravitas.
Particularly the BAFTAs.
Than the Oscars. You know, the awards that are given out are not just by punters, so to speak. It's by people who really do know performance and filmmaking and are awarding appropriately, whereas the Oscars is a popularity contest.
Within their peers, though, because each Oscar is within their own area, which I feel...
But, like, I mean, you always try to guess the flavour of each award based on the past.
You chose
correctly in a lot of cases.
Now, we didn't get everything right, obviously, because sometimes personal favourite comes into it and you sit there and say, I want them to win.
Hmm.
And they don't. And you sit there and go, okay. But then if you look at it and you go, politically, can I see why it won? Hmm. Often you can. Now, I was actually very surprised by two of the awards in particular.
Which ones were they?
One of which was Best Foreign Language Film. Which
is that the Japanese one?
Yeah, it just blew my mind. Because when we put up on Geek, actually, our predictions... Jacob and I sat down before the show and we talked about it and we put up our predictions. And we put up The Class... But it really was a toss-up for us between The Class and Waltzing with Bashir.
Mm.
Or Waltz with Bashir?
Waltz with Bashir,
Waltz
yeah.
with Bashir.
Yeah.
And we thought Waltz with Bashir was the higher profile, but The Class has gotten so much press about it, and we thought these are the two films.
The trailer to The Class is pretty impressive.
And then to have Departures slide in out of nowhere, really, and take this award.
Yojiro Takita.
I was stunned. That one really surprised me.
It came out of left field. Yep.
And the other one that really surprised me, of course, was Best Actor. Mm. Now, Best Actor came down to a two-horse race.
Yeah.
It really was always going to be between Sean Penn and Mickey Rourke.
Absolutely.
Now, before I saw The Wrestler, I was absolutely adamant that Sean Penn was going to take this award.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw The Wrestler, of course, and as far as I'm concerned, The Wrestler, I mean, he deserved it. It's a brilliant performance. to have Sean Penn zip in underneath and take that Oscar, considering that Mickey Rourke has cleaned up the Globes, the BAFTAs. I mean, he's literally the comeback kid.
I'm going to put it to you that that's why. In a way, I feel like the Academy is saying, "Look, we're happy you're back. Yes, the performance is extraordinary, but you've got to earn it, and we want to see another film out of you." So, for the insurance purpose, for the insurer's purposes, that you're going to put your money where your mouth is, no matter how good that performance was. Because the fact is that, you know, there was to take a leaf out of your theories, I mean, there is a lot of political clout in the Academy. I mean, Proposition 8, you know, there's a lot going on there. Yeah. In the arts community in general, there are a lot of gay people in involved.
Absolutely. And Sean Penn basically gave a little political speech when he got up about how those who voted for Proposition 8 should be ashamed of themselves and so forth. And
again, it was a humble speech. It was
quite
limited too.
He kept it down. Absolutely.
And
just before we came on today, I was actually looking for the acceptance speech on things like YouTube and stuff, but obviously we're coming on hot off the heels of the live feed, so they haven't shown it yet.
Well, it's only finished not too long
so ago. So on the real show, which we are still having on Friday, on the real show this week...
Be listening on Friday, ladies and gentlemen, for episode number 27, is it?
27, yes.
27.
And we will find some of these acceptance speeches to play. Yep. I'd actually really like to play Sean Penn's acceptance speech because it was very good. And I'd also like to play a little bit of Penelope Cruz's because it was very good.
Yeah.
So we will find some of those.
Which was another surprise.
Which Penelope Cruz was another big surprise. Now, I was actually pretty convinced that Viola Davis was going to take it.
You were saying quality, not quantity.
Well, absolutely. And I mean,
there's a bit of history with this too, because David had informed me that in fact they had shot the scene with her in Doubt, which is a wonderful film, ladies and gentlemen, please see it. And then she was asked to come back a couple of weeks later to reshoot that particular
scene.
That's
right, yeah. Mm-hmm. So this was from an interview that she did on Film Spotting. She actually talked about the fact she had to go back and reshoot.
Right.
So it was interesting that she didn't take it. The concept that, she's not on screen that often, well, that's already been blown out of the water because Dame Judi Dench won for Shakespeare in Love and she was literally on screen 5 minutes.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's not about the length, it's about how powerful that moment is. Mm. Heath Ledger, of course, won for Batman, Dark Knight, completely expected.
Oh, absolutely. Can I put something to you?
Sure.
The Oscars, the way the Oscars are put together, the voting, it's broad stroke voting.
And the problem I have with the Oscars, and this is the same problem I have with the Globes, although the Globes has gone so far as to split comedy from drama, so that's one step in the right direction.
Sure.
But the one problem I have with the Oscars is really, can we really distill all of the films that get, because remember, it's worldwide, so it's not just America. Mm. Can we really distill all the films that are released in a single year? So we're probably talking 500, 600, 700 films down to 5. Mm. I mean, this is the problem, is that we really are distilling it down to these 5 nominations.
It's a big ask.
It's a big ask. I think the Oscars really need to look at the Globes and how they handle it and basically split that out and say, okay, maybe we need to separate comedy from drama, because comedies also never get a look in because they're not considered worthy enough, you know?
So why do you think that still is, Dave?
I don't know. It's one of those weird, weird, weird things. And you know what? Up until Silence of the Lambs, horror films didn't win either, and Silence of the Lambs proved that they could.
True.
So
we've got to have a comedy that is, considered on the level of drama.
I also want to put something to
a dramedy.
Well, yeah, I think that's where it's going to have to start.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, let's face it, back in the 80s, everybody thought Tootsie was going to win, and Tootsie didn't win. And when it didn't win, everybody went, that's because comedies don't win. Mm. You know, it's as simple as that. Mm. But let me put this to you. Something occurred to me while I was watching it, and I don't mean this to sound derisive or mean. What does it say that the only two posthumous Oscars ever won were both by Australians?
Peter Finch.
Peter Finch.
1978.
And now Heath Ledger. You know, what does that say?
Well,
let's just put that out there and let people think about that one.
get a clause to knock themselves off after the...
No, don't go there. Don't go there. All right,
sorry.
Now let's talk about this musical number.
The one in the middle?
Yeah. Now, Baz Luhrmann comes from the school of More is More, and he put together this musical number for the middle. Now, this is supposed to be a return to...
Come home, Baz. Come home, shut the door, and go to bed.
Yeah. This was supposed to be...
I'm sorry.
I'm having trouble even getting through this part. This was the most embarrassing, embarrassing moment I think I've seen in Oscar history. In Oscars for at least the last 20 years.
It reminded me of, Trey Parker in South Park, the way they take the piss out of things. It really was to that level, you know, their take on celebrity in general.
Look, people are going to immediately say, oh, you're Baz bashing again because I Baz bash constantly.
Yes, he is.
I am Baz bashing, but I'm doing it for good reason. This number was embarrassing. It was badly put together. And just when you think they couldn't put any more people on stage, the curtains open up and more people come on stage.
Yeah, it was the weakest thing in the whole show. I mean, it has who was the guy who directed dances back in the
Busby Berkeley.
Busby Berkeley. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, and it was done in the style of Moulin Rouge and the concept of mashing up songs where one lyric goes into another lyric goes into. So we never actually get a feel for any of the music because it's sliding. And at one point, you've got three groups of singers and they're all singing different songs.
Believes his own bullshit.
It was awful. It really was. And I would say that if you have recorded the Academy Awards, you can time shift straight through that part. You don't even...
Yeah, absolutely.
You don't even need to watch
Let's move on to the nicer things. And there are many nice things about this award.
Give me an example of one of your nicer things.
Man on Wire, I was very happy.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah.
Completely expected.
Oh, sure.
But I thought what was really charming... Now, you're going to hate me because I can't remember his name.
I'll find the name for you. Who you're talking about?
No, the man on wire.
Philippe Petit.
Thank you.
Yeah. Petit in French, of course, is the small.
Absolutely. And the fact that the director and producer, I think it was, or the two producers, actually called him up at the awards when they won was just charming. And then when him doing the magic tricks was just lovely.
It was wonderful. And then he balanced the Oscar on his chin.
It's just terrific. It was one of those wonderful Oscar moments.
James Marsh and Simon Chin.
Thank you very much. I was a little bit disappointed that... now, of course, before you go on and write me letters saying, aren't you going to go through every Oscar? We're not going to go through every Oscar here because you can watch the show. We're just talking about the ones in particular that caught our eye. Some of them are very predictable. I'm going to put up a list of winners on the website at some stage tonight.
Are you going to talk about the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award?
I will in just a minute. Before I do that, I just thought I'd talk a little bit about this new technique of presentation that they were doing, which at first was working nicely. And then by the end was embarrassing. What they've done for this year's Oscars, for those who haven't seen it yet, or for those who have watched it, you know what I'm talking about. They would bring out five past Oscar winners, and some of them legendary, some of them more recent. And those five Oscar winners would come out stage, usually getting a standing ovation. And then they would come out, and each one would tell us about one of the nominees.
Quite moving in the beginning, I think.
And the best supporting actor and best supporting actress worked quite well. They came out, they said their bit. And what was really nice about it was it kind of gave each of the nominees their moment in the sun. Even if they didn't win, they still got their moment.
Which I find very equitable.
And then what I thought was very funny was that they would actually have all the nominees in tears before the award was actually read.
They almost did. Particularly with...
And it worked quite nicely. By the time we got to best actor and actress... The people on stage were actually talking to their nominee, and it became embarrassing. It was like, you're so wonderful. You're a terrific person. You're magnificent. I love you. Yeah. And you deserve this so much. And all I could think was, oh, my God, I'm embarrassed. Stop it.
You could actually see the arc of the piss going into the pocket. It wasn't a digital effect. It was like this
absolutely
perfect arch of the piss.
And I thought what started out as a nice idea fell into something that is going to be probably ridiculed as time goes on.
That's a shame because it was done well in the beginning there, and it became ridiculous.
Now, a lot of the awards were... We'll come to your moment in a second. A lot of the awards were very predictable. Achievement in Film Editing, Slumdog Millionaire, we actually predicted that.
How many Oscars in total, or do you want to mention or not mention?
For Slumdog or for the
Slumdog,
we got?
Slumdog.
Slumdog, I think, is 8. I will add them up. You tell us about our moment, which I thought was... A nice moment, and luckily it was actually kept brief, but there are issues which we will come up with. Tell us about it, Jack.
Now, you're talking about the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award, which I've never heard of before, but it's obviously...
It's not given out every year.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't think it's given out, because they all sometimes do a Norman Thalberg Award. They sometimes...
What was the award where they had the director of... what's his name? He spoke during the communist era against communists.
I think that was a Thalberg.
No.
Because the Thalberg is like for a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, this was a lifetime achievement award. They didn't have a lifetime achievement
award. They didn't do one this year.
No.
But they gave this one instead.
They gave this one instead to Mr. Jerry Lewis. Now, Mirren, who was actually watching with us, breathed fire and cursed and so on, because he is a bit of a hard ass, and he has been known to be a bit of a pig. Nonetheless, as soon as he opened his mouth, he's looking very old now.
I think he's had a stroke.
He has had a stroke. Very slow and slurred in speech, very thankful and yeah. That was the Gene Herschel Humanitarian Award.
I think I count 7 for Slumdog, by the way.
Do you? I'll keep counting while you talk.
Now, problem I have with Jerry Lewis is that, yes, he's done all these wonderful things and he hosts these telethons.
Oh, yeah, by the way, he's raised $2 billion for muscular dystrophy.
Which is wonderful. Yeah. And, I just find Jerry Lewis, and this is why I think that The King of Comedy is such a wonderful film, is because I find him very sleazy. And
He is.
And to give this...
You think he was being himself in King of Comedy?
I think he was. Mm. And I think to give this...
What is he saying? So, die of cancer. The woman on the public phone. She says, "Oh, would you speak to my son? He's on the phone." She says, "Oh, yeah. She says, "Die of cancer." Yeah. Yes. Thank you very much. She says,
yeah. For those who haven't seen, The King of Comedy is a Martin Scorsese film from the '80s with Robert De Niro and Jerry Lewis, and a very, very twisted Sandra Bernhardt in probably one of the first times I ever saw her, I think.
It's a film that's way ahead of its time.
It was.
It predicts the culture of celebrity.
And it actually kind of bombed at the time and has become a cult classic since. Mm-hmm. And it's a great film, but Jerry Lewis plays this really bitter, mean person who his public face is, a buffoon. Yeah. His public face is the King of Comedy.
Yeah.
And so it kind of reflected on Jerry Lewis a lot. Mm. Now, the problem I have, or not the problem, but the hypocrisy that I have with the Jerry Lewis Award in this Oscars was that, he comes across as kind of slimy and kind of the end of the rat pack and the whole bit. And to give this man a humanitarian award just felt kind of odd.
It did. Well, I was thinking of giving him something. It looks like he's going to cark. Better give it to him this year.
That's what that was. I haven't looked this up, and I'll find this out before the next show, but I would be curious to know if he's actually ever won a Thalberg, which is a Lifetime Achievement Award, Norman Thalberg Award, because if he has, then haven't they already given him his Lifetime Achievement Award? Anyway, I don't know. Mm. And I could be completely wrong, and people out there, particularly in France, are going, but he's a legend and he's wonderful. And he does. He looks like he's sick. He looks like...
Hey, lady!
But yes, so that was a moment, and the one thing that I will say that was okay about it was that these sort of special awards tend to go on for an awful long time, and it was actually kept very brief, and one of the reasons is because he looks like it's uncomfortable to talk, so he probably didn't want to spend
Give the Oscars this year a B plus or an A minus as far as keeping things.
I give it a B plus, short. I give it a B plus. So the fact that it went on for 4 hours says that it wasn't entirely short.
No.
The one gripe I will have is the in memoriam
is what you're looking for.
My mouth isn't working.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
That segment is actually one of my favorite segments of the Oscars.
Oh, I missed it.
You missed it. Because it really does let us know. It fills us in on
a lot of
holes.
Who passed on over the year?
Oh, lots. Yeah. It's too many to go through. Mirren's actual first comment was, "Where's Heath?" But Heath was actually mentioned at the end of last year, so he just squeezed last year. But there was Paul Newman and Charlton Heston and all the ones that we did, and there were some ones I didn't know, and Sidney Pollack and all these wonderful people. But the way they did it this year, I wasn't happy with. What they had was they had Queen Latifah sing a song, which was okay because Queen Latifah is a wonderful singer and everything else, and they had it on screens behind her. But the director decided to get clever this year. Normally they just have them come up on screen and the music plays. This time, they wanted to keep showing Queen Latifah. And so the camera would pull back to show her singing, and of course the memorials are on a screen behind her, and it was hard to see who they were sometimes, And so he's sitting squinting past her trying to go, who is that?
So that's the director.
And the way it was handled on the screen, I think was a bit messy. It was them trying to be clever. And it don't think it quite worked.
Okay.
So
what are we up to now?
Let's see. Animated short film.
Oh, yeah.
Live action short film. I mean, I didn't know these films, so I couldn't really...
Look, they only started including these awards over the past couple of years anyway. So.
They've actually been in probably for good over a decade now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've been in over a decade now. But problem is, in Australia, and this is another problem with our geographic locations, we don't get half of these films.
No.
Which is really frustrating because they're shown at film festivals and stuff like that in America, and we don't get them. And so some of these, or in fact most of these, I am not familiar with at all.
Some of them show at the Australian festivals, I think.
Some of them.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I wasn't... Toyland won for best live-action short film.
Had you heard of that?
No, I hadn't. No. In fact, the only one that I had heard of in any of these was the Pixar cartoon.
Oh, yes.
Presto, which I thought was fabulous.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that online.
Which I just thought was fabulous. Mm-hmm. And that didn't win, obviously.
No.
But Pixar did pick up the Oscar for best animated feature.
There's something worth mentioning, David. You've got Jack Black and...
Jack Black's comment was priceless.
And what's-her-face, Brad's ex.
Jennifer Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston on stage and, discussing the fact that he makes more doing animation than he does live action.
And she coyly says, how do you do that?
How do you do that? And he says, well, what I do is take all the money I earn from DreamWorks.
I do one DreamWorks film a year. And then bet it all on Pixar.
Because as David has pointed out to me, Pixar win every year.
I actually think that fact is slightly wrong. They've won most.
They have.
I don't know if they won for Toy Story 2. Mm. I don't think they did. And I don't know if they won for Cars.
Can you give us a very brief rundown of Wall-E?
Okay,
just like a two-line synopsis, more or less.
WALL-E is a very, very simple story. It's just told beautifully. Mm. For those who haven't seen it, it is not a standard cartoon. Go see it. It is fabulous, and it has a message, too. Pixar crafted a film about the Earth in the future has gotten to the point where we have so overpolluted it that we've had to leave.
Mm.
The Earth is just uninhabitable. And instead, they put a whole bunch of little...
Gee, I can't see that.
And they put a whole bunch of little robots called the WALL-Es, which are environmental robots, and their entire job is to clean up the planet.
God.
Now we cut to 500 years later, and there's only one left, which is our hero, WALL-E. Mm. The rest of all basically broken down, and he just continually putters every single day, packing rubbish away, to the point where... he actually finds a plant.
Right.
And from there, we get onto this whole thing where he meets another robot and he goes and finds the other people.
This smells of Silent Running.
It has a feel of Silent Running. It's done with humor. It's done... It's every point throughout the film, you keep sitting there going, oh, I can see what they're saying here.
Does it deserve its award?
Absolutely. Mm. It is by far. In fact, I would actually go one step further. Now, Mirren disagrees with this, I know, but I actually think that separating animated film and film is not necessarily a good thing.
Why is that?
Because WALL-E actually...
No, I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you.
No, but I actually think that WALL-E is one of the best films of the year. Mm. And I think WALL-E
could have been nominated for Best Picture.
Now, there's only been a few animated films ever nominated in that category, one of which was recently The Beauty and the Beast by Disney that was actually nominated in the Best Film category. Now, I actually think whether it's a cartoon or whether it's live action, the line is so blurred now.
It's only a matter of time, Dave. I mean, I kind of balk at the idea right now, but I know in maybe even as less as 5 years' time or maybe 10 years' time,
The bottom line is this, and this is my argument to it at all.
De rigueur, I should say, not de gueur.
My argument to this. It's getting late, and we've been watching Oscars.
We had a big. We had a housewarming party. I'm still recovering. All right.
My argument to all of this is that a good film is a good film. Whether it be animated, whether it be live action, makes absolutely no difference. Whether it be stop motion, makes no difference. Let's face it, Waltz with Bashir was a cartoon.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And people are sitting there going, it's the best foreign language film of the year. Yeah. Now, what didn't win, but people are raving about it.
It's going
And
that
so
way.
Was yeah, that. Yeah, it, yeah. What was the Iranian film that was also animated that came out this year as well?
Last year.
You know the one I'm talking about. I'm sure we can find it. But... It's like a painter who says, I'm going to paint in pastels, or I'm going to paint in oils, or I'm going to do charcoal.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what medium they draw.
I'll point something out. I'll point out the difference. The difference is they normally pertain to a real story. There's a dramatic thing, and it's pertaining to something real, a real situation. Whereas WALL-E is a fictional, although a prevalent subject matter and very relevant, it's fiction.
The Dark Knight? is fiction. Mm. Iron Man is fiction. Mm. For all intents and purposes, but Doubt still, but still, is fiction.
It still has actors in it. Yeah.
And so does Wally. Mm. Wally has people portraying the voices in those films. What about in a about Lord of the Rings, where Gollum is all motion capture? Mm. That actually had a performer doing everything from face acting to body to voice. Yep. He's just not physically on screen.
It's about the Oscars catching up with the times, and this is my point. Everything in... I mean, the Oscars are changing. It was indicative of what we saw. What we saw today is indicative of that. Mm. But it's still got a long way to go. You've still got probably got a few... Look, the old codgers are probably starting to die off now, Dave.
Now, speaking of catching up with the times... Mm. One of the awards that I had problems with was Best Makeup. Now,
You were going on about Hellboy, and I think you got a bit of favoritism happening here.
I do, but let me justify it. How's that sound? All right, let me put an argument to the people and see what they say. In the category for Best Makeup, we had The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, which is the one that won.
Sure.
The Dark Knight, and Hellboy 2.
Yep.
Okay, now, out of those three films, the only one that was a true makeup film, which actually required on-set, in-camera makeup really extensively, was Hellboy.
Yep.
This is a film that had animatronic beasts, it had full-body prosthetics, it had all this wonderful work.
Yep. Now, it used makeup.
It used makeup. Now, I'm not going to say that the makeup in Curious Case of Benjamin Button wasn't good. There was some really good, excellent makeup in it. But the thing that has really wowed people is when he's a shriveled old man and stuff like that. And the problem is that's not really makeup.
CGI.
That's CGI. Mm-hmm. And I think what's happened is people, and I'm worried that the award, the voters, have gotten confused at what they're seeing. And that's how good CGI has gotten. That I'm worried that they're a little, I mean, let's face it, Dark Knight, aside from Joker, Joker's makeup is fabulous and it's very understated and everything else. And it's really subtle in the sense that it's only that slight scarring and, you know, but it's so effective.
Yes.
Wonderful. But Two-Face, who everybody raves about how good Two-Face looked, was a digital effect.
Sure.
In fact, the makeup artist from Hellboy, I heard an interview with him just the other day, he actually talked about the fact that in the case of Two-Face, he was wearing a blue half-face, and it was a digital creation.
But Dave, let me put this to you, as we were speaking about in the beginning, I mean, you know, with the Oscars, you're talking about a long history of lobbying. It's like a presidential election.
It is.
You know what I'm saying? So,
well, and that was evidenced by Shakespeare and Love.
You're begging for accuracy in votes in an environment that is, you know, is about lobbying. So, you know.
So I actually think, in this situation, Hellboy got ripped off.
It did.
But 100%. That's a personal thing.
By the way, the best makeup was given to Greg Canham.
For Curious Case. So Curious Case had some good makeup in it. I don't begrudge them. I think, you know, it had some really good stuff in it. But I think Hellboy 2 really was the focus. Now, other than those awards, I think I pretty much agree with almost everybody else.
Best original screenplay.
Screenplay was for Milk.
Dustin Lance Black.
Which was wonderful. I actually did predict In Bruges, which I actually think personally, I liked better.
Oh yeah,
but that's a personal choice. Mm. I can understand why Milk won.
Have you spoken about Best Supporting Actress?
Best Supporting Actress, we mentioned right at the head of the show, but we can bring her up again.
Penelope Cruz.
She was a surprise. I actually really didn't think that she was going to take it. I thought it was going to be Viola Davis, as I said, or my second choice was going to be Amy Adams.
Oh, yeah. Well, and I think that's a valid choice too, for Doubt. Tell me something. You've seen this film?
Which one? Vicky
Cristina Barcelona, no.
Which is one of the reasons why I didn't vote for her.
I had no incentive to go. Woody's long past.
I've done a hell of a job trying
What a canon he has.
Yeah. Absolutely, and he's got some of my favorite films in there. But I've done a hell of a job trying to catch up on all the Oscar nominees, or the major Oscar nominees, before the show, before the actual Oscars. Whoops, I just turned down the volume. You guys didn't notice, but it was our headset volume. Before the Oscars actually aired, and unfortunately I didn't get to that one. Problem I had with it was that overall, most people I spoke to and most reviews I read of it said that it's a very average film. They all did say, though, that she was very good.
Mm.
So they said that she's wonderful, the film is average, which is funny because that kind of resonates a lot, doesn't it, in a lot of films. You sit there and say, as an example, The Wrestler. I go on about Mickey Rourke's performance in The Wrestler. If you took Mickey Rourke out of The Wrestler, The Wrestler isn't much of a film. Well, it's okay. It's
well,
a good film.
Well, as you say, Nicolas Cage was originally cast in it. So,
yeah, and they, you know, he stepped aside for Mickey Rourke. And Mickey Rourke is that character. The Reader is another good example. Kate Winslet, who won the Oscar this year for Best Actress, deserves that Oscar. And unfortunately, it was a really embarrassing acceptance speech. And my hope is she did really breathless and she was so excited about winning. And my hope with all of this is that now that she's won the Oscar that she's been so coveting for so many years, maybe she'll just relax and enjoy it, like Meryl Streep.
Sure. You know? I have found Kate Winslet to have been very two-dimensional in the past. But maybe I'll be proven wrong when I see.
You should watch The Reader. You should watch The Reader. I know you haven't seen it yet.
No.
Once again, the film itself is not a masterpiece. It's okay.
Based on the Bernard Schlink book, which I have read.
But she is the film, as is Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight. I mean, really.
Tell me, what did you think about the family accepting his award?
I thought it was sweet. Yeah. I thought it was sweet. It went on a little bit long. I would like to have had one spokesperson speak.
Yeah.
I also think it would have been really sweet to have had Matilda there, his daughter. I think that would have been really sweet.
At the age three, I mean, she probably would have.
Oh, she would have had a blast. If I'd taken Nicky to something like that, he would have wet himself, you know? But anyway, I thought it was a sweet acceptance speech. I think having each member of the family speak took it a little bit, just was a little bit long. What have we got left? Anything?
Not much. Our best costume design went to Duchess.
Which was kind of out of left field, but we should have predicted it. Every time there is a big costume film, and I use inverted commas around costume, when I talk about costume, I'm not talking about just any period. I'm talking about, like, period, you know, with frills and collars and corsets.
Yep.
These win.
Yeah.
Hands down. These are the films that win that sort of award.
Slumdog Millionaire picked up 6 Oscars as far as I can tell here.
I counted seven.
Too.
All right, count them up. Are you ready?
We're going to do this on air. Go ahead.
We've got, so you got your fingers ready?
Yeah.
Achievement in sound mixing.
Yes, there it is there.
So that's one.
Yep.
Adapted screenplay, 2.
Adapted screenplay, yes.
We've got not on that page. Hold on a second. We've got motion picture.
Best picture, yes.
So that's 3.
Yes.
We've got
best cinematography.
I'm not up to there yet. Hold on a second. Slow down. Mm-hmm. Cinematography, so that's 4. Mm-hmm. We've got directing, so that's 5.
Oh. Yes, directing. Yep.
We've got film editing, 6.
6, there you go, there's the 6th.
We have music written for a motion picture.
A best song.
7, and best song, 8. We have score and song. So I've got 8 altogether for Slumdog Millionaire. Deservedly so. Yeah, it was my pick for this year of being the one strip mine the Oscars.
But I thought politically Milk might have done that.
Well, I think Sean Penn was the political win. Mm-hmm. He definitely got up and basically said, you know, we've said this already in the show, where he basically got up and hassled people who voted for Proposition 8.
Apparently, there were Christian right protesters outside.
That's what he said. They didn't show that on the red carpet leading in.
No.
I would like to point out that list that we talked about in the show for the leaked Oscar winners was actually told to be bogus by the Academy of Motion Picture Sciences a couple
of
days ago.
Of
course it was. And of course we haven't done a show since we talked about that list. We did say on the show that we thought it was fake. I've got it in front of me right now, and the mere fact that it says on the very first award, actor in a leading role Mickey Rourke, says that we know now that it is a fake, and considering that their supporting actress was Amy Adams, and we keep going down the list, and costume design, Curious Case of Benjamin Button, it was completely wrong. The ones that it did predict correctly are the ones that were really easy to predict. The fact is that it was a very predictable Oscars. We did know what was coming up on most. There were a few surprises, which was nice. It's always nice. Overall, I didn't find the show painful to watch. There were moments where I cringed, like the actors serenading their fellow actors. And the music.
They'll probably do that next year again, I'd say.
And the musical number, which I just hope that they never bring Baz out of his box again.
No, Dave, he's done.
I was very happy to note that Australia didn't win any Oscars, which was thankful. So, in all, I thought it was an okay show. We're going to wrap this up because this is only just a special show just for the Oscars, but we are going to wrap this up very quickly because last night the Golden Raspberries were also announced. We cannot have the Oscars without the Raspberries.
The Razzies.
Now, I will just say that the Razzies I love.
The Razzie for Worst Actor?
The Razzie for Worst Actor went to James Bond himself, Pierce Brosnan, from Mamma Mia.
That's one Razzie.
So deserved. He was actually the most cringeworthy thing in the film. The worst film of the year went to The Love Guru, which was just... And speaking of Love Guru, that little comedy moment by Apatow in the middle of the Academy Awards with Seth Rogen and James Franco, like a scene from Pineapple Express, wonderful.
That very was clever. Very, very clever indeed. Yeah.
Very clever indeed. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. Worst actor goes to Mike Myers. So hold on. Worst supporting actor was Pierce Brosnan. Worst actor was Mike Myers. Worst actress was Paris Hilton. And worst supporting actress was also Paris Hilton. She picked up two. And what have we got here? Worst screen couple was Paris Hilton and either Christine Lacken or Joel David Moore. Worst remake, prequel, or ripoff was Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Worst director was, ready? Uwe Boll. He actually won it for In the Name of the King, A Dungeon Siege Tale, and Postal.
You have promised to show me Postal.
I have promised to show you Postal, and we've started to put together the list for the showcase shows, which we will talk about more in Geek, actually, but one of the definite first 10 will be Uwe Boll. So be looking forward to that one. Worst Career Achievement Award also went to Uwe Boll, because he is considered Germany's answer to Ed Wood.
Listen, there are millions of people out there who would like to be remembered. Just remembered.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's an achievement in itself.
Now, I will just bring up really quickly, and this is actually something I was going to say for Geek Action.
We've got to wrap it up, don't we?
We've got to wrap this up, but considering we just mentioned Uwe Boll, I have to mention this, and I will give you much more detail on this in the actual episode of Geek Action. I just thought I'd bring this up because it just tickled me. Uwe Boll apparently is trying a new way of financing films. Mirren actually brought this to my attention and I read the article.
Hocking his ass?
No. He's actually asked people to invest €33 at a time. Basically, you make an investment of €33 or 66 Australian dollars, and you will get a credit, a special edition of the DVD when it comes out, and you will be in the running to win a trip to the set. He's hoping to raise $18 million this way to make the film.
I reckon he'll do it. You're actually not legally, you're not allowed to do that in Australia.
No, but he's in Germany.
No, I know, but there are a lot of people who thought about doing the same thing, you know, splitting up, you know, a million shares, a dollar each.
Well, you actually are legally allowed to do it in Australia, but you, by the time, because we actually had a friend who was doing it, but by the time you've organized the prospectus and everything else, it is so budget-breaking to get the accounting on that done that it's not worth it.
No, that's right.
It's just not worth it.
And you have to apply to ASIC and all
that. Absolutely. You have to be a registered company, and you have to distribute shares.
Forget it. Aren't you going to do a showcase on Uwe Boll?
That's what I just said before we started. I said Uwe Boll is in the first 10.
Nice.
In fact, I will give you a quick hint and say that in the first 10 showcases, they will include the Canon Group. I'll let you ponder that one. Uwe Boll, and so far we're looking at the worst of the worst, but we will also be looking at a few other things, and in the next show I will actually start announcing some of the titles that we will be doing. Showcases hopefully will be going out by end of March.
Right.
Alright, we will start them at the end of March. Right. In the meantime...
Canon will be a lot of fun, let me tell you.
Oh, Canon is going to be a hoot, and if you don't know who Canon is, do a Google search on Canon, the Canon Incorporated, 80s filmmakers, or go to the Gloriously Wonderful Bad list on geekactually.com. The first three of them are Canon films. All right, so there's this wonderful stuff. All right, so in the meantime, enjoy the Oscars if you haven't watched it. If you have watched it, I hope you did enjoy it. We will be back at the end of the week with a full-length Geek, actually. And in the meantime, I guess, go see more movies.
Absolutely.
Because, you know what? All of life's questions are answered in the movies, all right?
News is boring. Watch film.
Absolutely. In fact, I think we're going to the movies tonight, aren't we?
Ah, we are.
We are. We're going to see if we can find a movie to watch tonight.
Yes.
All right. I will see you later in the week.
Bye, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us.
Ta-ta. Thank you.